Serve thee in a manner that's true. Lord, I pray that you might increase our love for one another and for this gospel. We pray for that gift of charity, Lord, that it might be found within our hearts. We pray for our loved ones that are on the highways, for Don and for Jay, for my dad and Uncle Jim and their travels. Lord, we pray that you continue to keep them safe, and that you prepare the way before them, that they might be able to reach out to the souls of men. We continue to remember the Navajo Fair that's coming up. We pray, Lord, that you might bless your ancient covenant people, that you might reach out to those that might be pure in heart, and that you'd use your missionaries there as instruments in thy hands, that they might be able to bring souls unto thee. We pray, Lord, for all the work in Yucatan and wherever it might be. Pour out your spirit upon thy children, upon thy ministry. Pray that you'll give them strength and endurance. We ask now that you will continue with us. We pray for Val and her needs and for Bertie and her needs as they come before thee this night to be administered to, Lord, that you'd care for them, that you'd pour out your spirit upon them. Now we ask that you might continue with us, and we ask it giving thanks always for the blessings that you've given us. And we seal it in the name of Christ. Amen.
Indeed, I desire and interest in your prayers. I brought my lunch just in case we'd be here a while. But I don't hope to be here too awful long. To start with this evening, I'd like to bear a little testimony of a blessing I received through administration this last week. I was administered to twice. Once was on Tuesday. I had been off work for 2 weeks. 1 week because I had problems at the job, and the other week because I was in Missouri. And both those weeks I probably stayed in the house more than outside, you know, in the cool. And then when I went back to work Tuesday, it was quite warm and it was quite humid, and I got quite sick, which has happened to me before because of the heat. But it's not a good idea to not go to work the second day you've been on the job, you know. So I desired to go to work the second day, and a couple of the brothers came over and administered to me, and I did receive strength. And again, yesterday I was administered to, because from that time that I got sick until now, I had developed some kind of sinus problem, And I guess that cat figures he needs a little preaching too. So I am thankful for the blessings that the Lord does give us. I desire to bring a message, perhaps a little different than I do sometimes, but I felt that the Lord touched my heart in this way. I'd like to start as a text in the third chapter of Helaman in the 112th verse. And I'm going to read quite a bit this evening, so I hopefully we can go through it fairly quickly. I hope my voice holds out, because my throat's been giving me a little problem. 112th verse, it says, "And it came to pass that there arose a division among the people, insomuch that they divided hither and thither, and went their way, leaving Nephi alone, as he stood in the midst of them." Now, just to kind of bring you on an update, the people of Nephi had gotten pretty wicked in their ways. And Nephi, the son of Helaman, was a righteous man. And he's the fellow I want to talk about this evening. And I want to look into his life and examine his life because he was favored of the Lord. And I want to, in some way, compare him to us today. You know, each individual. I can't compare him to you, but I can compare him to me. And I don't mean to really set him up, but he was a righteous man before God. And he had a lot of the attributes that God expects out of us today. But he had went and was showing a sign to these people concerning the death of their leader, that he knew who killed him, and he showed it to them, you know, a miracle. And they believed it, they seen it. But yet they just got to feuding one with another and took off and left him standing there by himself. And so we're gonna go on here, and the Lord kind of performed a miracle in his life and in the lives of these people as well. But in doing so, like I say, show some of the attributes that the Lord expects of us. And I think this sermon this evening is probably on faith as well as love, and the reason what motivates us to do the things we do. And what needs to be the motivating factor to do the things we should be doing. And I hope I can convey these thoughts that I have to you. In the 113th verse, it says, "And it come to pass that Nephi went his way towards his own house, pondering upon the things which the Lord has showed unto him," concerning this leader and the miracle that he had showed there. "And it come to pass, as he was thus pondering, being much cast down because of the wickedness of the people of Nephi, their secret works of darkness, and their murderings, and their plunderings, and all manner of iniquity. And it came to pass, as he was pondering in his heart, behold, he heard a voice come unto him, saying," and I'm going to read what that voice was saying. But first, I'd like to turn back just a few pages in Helaman, in the second chapter, in the 29th verse. And I want to draw our attention to something, and that is that how Nephi felt at that time. Here he's bearing witness of the gospel to these people that need it in their lives. They're miserable. They're fighting one with another. And he's bearing witness of it, but they're not accepting it. And he's feeling downcast in his heart. Okay, and he's just feeling distraught. And I ask myself, because there's much wickedness in our land today, if we really look at it, we don't hold as a country. And as a world today, all over this world, there's very few places that hold marriage as a sacred covenant. They don't hold the things that made this nation great. Today are for nothing. And preferring our fellow man, I enjoyed Joel's sermon this morning concerning how we should treat one another. And at the birth of this nation and the growth of it, that was the way that we treated one another. It didn't make any difference what church you was in, But people, even when I was a kid, I can remember my dad saying, we never locked the house, you know. If somebody came by and needed something, they just borrowed it and took it and brought it back when they were done. But you can't do that today. Even up there in the woods where he lives, he has to lock everything up because people steal everything. And things are changing. And I liken our society today to how Nephi felt at that time and what he was looking on, because I don't expect it to get any better. And the wickedness of this people that we live with in the world and work with, hopefully we're bearing testimony of the gospel of Christ. But I don't expect the bulk of them to really receive it. And so I'd like to read this 29th verse here in the second chapter. It says, in the 55th year of the reign of Judges, there was peace also, save it were for the pride which began to enter into the church, not into the church of God, but into the hearts of the people who professed to belong to the church of God. And they lifted, and they were lifted up in pride, even to the persecution of their brethren. Now this was a great evil which did cause the more humble part of the people to suffer great persecution and to wade through much affliction. Nevertheless, they did fast and pray oft, and did wax stronger and stronger in humility, and firmer in the faith of Christ, unto the filling of their souls with joy and consolation, yea, even to the purifying and sanctification of their hearts, which sanctification cometh because of their yielding their hearts to God. And the reason I wanted to read this in conjunction with what I just read about Nephi over here is because that appears to me to be an attribute that he had. He had yielded his heart to God. And as we read here, the Lord's going to tell him that's what he did. And if we're going to have a earnest concern for our fellow man, it's just going to be like what Joel said this morning. You can't love your brother unless you love the Lord. And I often wondered, as I sat throughout the past few years and heard different ones tell of the missionary trips that some men who have gone before us has made, and some sacrifices they have made, some of the family that they left at home, you know, without many things, without many conveniences, and without many necessities, which we take for granted today. The sacrifices that were made, these men made for the gospel, to go out and preach the gospel. And maybe some of the people's hearts which they touched are here in the church today, maybe not. You know? And I wondered, and Jay and I was talking one time, and the thought was between us, that why? What motivated these men to do that? What would motivate a man to leave his family and his young children and go out into the world, maybe 6 months, a year? We find in the Book of Mormon where men went for years and preached the gospel and then came home again. And I just questioned myself, why? I mean, I love the gospel, and I desire for my fellow man to come to a knowledge of it, but within my heart, am I ready to make that kind of sacrifice? In my life, physically sacrifice my presence with my family or with this nice, secure little church local here, as some of our brethren today are even doing, are sacrificing their presence here and the comfort of this place to go in and wage a war in the world. And I've come to the conclusion that there only can be one motivating factor, and that's you have an earnest love for the souls of the children of men. You have an earnest love for that long-haired, long-bearded, motorcycle-riding hippie out there. You have an earnest love for his soul. And if we don't have that, such an earnest love as we have one for another, you can't be motivated to preach the gospel in that way. You can't be moved by the Spirit of God. It's just like Joel read this morning. He said, the first and great commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, might, and strength. And the second was like unto it, to love your neighbor with that same love. With that same love. And if we can't develop, and it ain't in my heart, I'll be honest, and I can examine myself today and say that loving in my heart because of the hardness of the world that creeps therein. I have a love for each person in this room that hopefully I could lay down my life for them. But for people in the world, I can't say that. And that's what I need to work on. And that's what each one of us, and you know, my wife may never go into the missionary field and preach the gospel. She still needs to have that love for a fellow man to fulfill her obligation before the Lord. I'd like to read on here a little bit, if I can find my place. The 114th verse, and it says, it came to pass that as he was thus pondering, 115th verse, excuse me, behold, and the voice came to him, saying, behold, thou Nephi, for the things which thou hast done, for I have beheld how thou hast went unwavering, declaring the word which I have given unto thee, unto this people. And thou hast not feared them, and hast not sought thine own life, but hast sought my will, and to keep my commandments. You know, this was the motivating thing. He didn't put his life, because his life was endangered. And if we read on, I had a difficult time deciding what to read, because I'd like to just read the entire story of this people, but there's not time. But his desire was to preach the gospel above his own life, and that means that he had to have a love for those people that were persecuting him, were endeavoring to even lay hands on him and throw him in prison from time to time. He didn't let that get in his way of his love for him. And it'd be very difficult for me today to do that. I just don't think I could. Hopefully the day will come that I can, but I just don't think I could. A quick scripture I would like to read in 1 Corinthians. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and in the 58th verse, the last verse in the chapter, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in good works of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, he went and he showed a mighty miracle to this people concerning who killed their leader. And they all split and left. And apparently, he appeared to him, perhaps, that it was in vain. But we know that any labor that we perform for the Lord, and especially to the magnitude that he was, wasn't in vain. No labor that we perform is in vain. We might not see the fruits of our labor. We might write an article in the Hand of Fellowship or in the Zion's Advocate. It might touch someone's heart and you'll never know it your entire life. You might say something to somebody or somebody at work, touch their heart and you never know it. And you may never see them in church. But someday down the road, they'll run into someone else in this gospel of Christ. And they will see the fruits of your labor. And so we don't labor in vain in anything that we do if it's in the Lord. And he's put that specifically in there. I'd like to continue on here a little bit about Nephi's story. 117th verse. It says, And now because thou hast done this with such unwaveringness, behold, I will bless thee forever, and I will make thee mighty in word and in deed, in faith and in works. Yea, even that all things shall be done unto thee according to thy word, for thou shalt not ask that which is contrary to my will. You know, the Lord's telling him this. He ain't telling this of himself. The Lord's telling Nephi, I know your heart, and you're not going to ask anything that's contrary to my will. And that's why I wanted to hold this man up as an example before you tonight. That is the state that we need to find ourselves in. Somewhere down the road, that's the state we need to find ourselves in. That we desire the Lord's will above everything. We're willing to lay down our life for the gospel and for His will. You know, I have to believe that Nephi didn't have any attachment to this world. And if we looked, I made a little footnote here. It said in... Where did it go? It's in 3 Nephi, in the first chapter, in the first three verses, it says that Nephi, talking of him, the son of Helaman, departed out of the land, and where he went, no man knoweth. And that was the end of him. No one ever heard of him. Turn the record over to his son. And so I have to believe that because of the things that are written here, that he didn't have any attachment to this world. He might have had silver or gold or a nice house. I don't know what he had. But it wasn't a thing of importance to him. He said he had his own home. He was going to depart to his own home. We know he prayed at his own home. And the people came there and talked to him from time to time. But it wasn't an attachment to him. And I rather doubt to see that he had attachments of this world and the conveniences of this world, because all the energy of his body and his heart and his mind was dedicated to the Lord's benefit and to the benefit of those around him. 118th verse, the Lord's going to talk to him some more. It says, "Behold, thou art Nephi, and I am God. Behold, I declare unto thee in the presence of mine angels that ye shall have power over this people and shall smite the earth with famine or with pestilence or with destruction according to the wickedness of this people. Behold, I give unto thee power that whatsoever ye shall seal on earth shall be sealed in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and thus shall ye have power among this people. And thus, if ye shall say unto the temple, unto this temple, it shall be rent in twain, it shall be done. And if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou cast down, and become smooth, it shall be done. And behold, if ye say, God shall smite this people, it shall come to pass. And now behold, I command you." The Lord's giving him another commandment here. He's still on his way home to his house. Hasn't made it to his house yet. He says, "I command you that ye shall go and declare unto this people that thus saith the Lord God, who is almighty, except ye repent, ye shall be smitten even unto destruction. And behold, now it came to pass that when the Lord had spoken these words unto Nephi, he stopped and did not go unto his own house, but did return unto the multitude who was scattered about upon the face of the land, and began to declare unto them the word word of the Lord which had been spoken unto him concerning the destruction if they did not repent. And behold, and notwithstanding the great miracle which Nephi had done in telling them concerning the death of their chief judge, they did harden their hearts and did not hearken unto the words of the Lord. Wherefore Nephi did declare unto them the word of the Lord, saying, Except ye repent, thus saith the Lord, ye shall be smitten even unto destruction. And he goes on, and he talks to the multitudes, and the multitudes try and lay their hands on him, and he's carried away in the spirit to another multitude of people. And from one multitude to another, and none repent. And, of course, probably most of us know the story. He goes and asks the Lord to bring a famine on the land, and he does. And many thousands of people die. But before they all die, they decide they better repent. And he asks the Lord to lift it, and then he does. But I wanted to hold this man up before you, not that he is greater than any other man, just that the fact is that he did the will of the Father. He submitted to God. He could see wherein that the power of everything that is was in God's hands and not in his. I'd like to turn over to 2 Timothy. In the first chapter, in the 7th verse, it says, For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And when he says of his prisoner, he's talking about himself. The Apostle Paul considered himself a prisoner of God and a willing one, I might add. But we are to be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel. And that sounds kind of funny. You know, I thought the gospel was supposed to uplift us and strengthen us, and it does. But the afflictions of the gospel is that we might willingly deny ourselves. And that might be considered an affliction. And from time to time, afflictions and trials and sufferings might come upon us, but we should willingly partake of those, as well as I always like the 7th verse, in that God has not given us a spirit of fear. And remember, Nephi said, the Lord told him, you haven't feared these people for your own life. Because the Spirit of the Lord isn't of fear, but of a sound mind. And I'd venture to say that in our world today, we're not raising up people with a sound mind. This society, with its problems of teenage and even younger suicide by the thousands, and homosexuals, and just every kind of adverse thing against the Lord we can think of, is not of a sound mind. And our generation, my generation and the generation that's after me, is not of a sound mind. They float from one place to another, and they have no basis for life. Unlike the generations before us, who perhaps wasn't founded in the gospel, but yet our society held to a truth enough of those things which this country was founded on, that we had people that were of soundness and of good character, you know. But we don't find that, because those things aren't held up in our society any longer. Are you interested in seeing what I brought for lunch? I tried to think of an example that I might use, and to be quite honest, mainly just to keep your attention. And attention perhaps of some younger people, if they care to look. I brought an empty bowl. Dinner's going to be kind of slim. I brought that and a brush that I might use the example that you know, Nephi had something in his life, and it was ingrained in his life. It wasn't just skin deep, he couldn't scrape it off, you know, because he's willing to lay down his very existence for it. And I brought this bowl an example that no matter how hard I scrub on this color here, I don't think it'd come off, because it's in the glass. And that's the key. That's the key, you know. I can come up here before you and wear a nice shirt or a suit or whatever that people expect to see a minister in, and I can bring my nice two black covered books and appear to be something, to appear to be a minister, to appear to live a certain way. But that doesn't make any difference, because the Lord knows your heart, you know, and He knows each one of us. And the thing we need to concentrate on is that the gospel is ingrained in our very being. You know, when he said to love the Lord, he just said, love the Lord with all your mind. That's not what he said. He said, love the Lord with all your mind, might, and strength. In other words, your whole person. So I ask you to examine your own life in comparison to Christ's life, in comparison to this servant of Christ, that we know was the God himself gave him power on the earth. I want to continue to read here. In Helaman, another example of this same man and other men. In the fourth chapter, you can just turn on over. The 27th verse says, and this is this people, after they had been brought to repentance and near destruction, they didn't have a very long memory. But this is right after that time. And it says in the 27th verse, and also they had peace in the 78th year, okay? He called a famine on the land in the 75th year. So it's been 3 years. I mean, he called it to a stop in the 75th year. And it says in the 78th year, and also they had peace in the 78th year, save it were for a few contentions concerning the points of doctrine which had been laid down by the prophets. And in the 79th year there began to be much strife. But it came to pass that Nephi and Lehi and many of their brethren who knew concerning the points of doctrine, having many revelations daily, therefore they did preach unto the people, insomuch that they did put an end to the strife in that same year. And my point here was that they had many revelations. They their heart and their mind was in tune with the Lord and had many revelations. They were guided and directed. And how much I've heard in this day that we long for this kind of understanding to come unto us, that we might know what to do. But it's going to be because of placing our hearts and minds in a proper attitude. I am convinced that God, at a moment's notice, is willing and ready and waiting to reveal anything that we want to know. But he can't. He's prohibited by us. You know, God's strength, His might, His power, His ability is the same and has been the same from the beginning. It was the same to Nephi as it is to us today. But the only difference is between Nephi's heart and mine and our relationship with the Lord. I'd like to flip another page over in Helaman there to the 47th verse. Excuse me, just over to the bottom of the next one. It says, and it came to pass in the 85th year, just 10 years since he called the famine off, in the 85th year, they did wax stronger and stronger in pride, and they were wicked, and thus they were ripe again for destruction, and thus ended the 85th year. And thus we can behold how false and also the unsteadiness of the hearts of the children of men. He was talking about his people then, but I think it's the same today. How quick we can forget a miracle in our life. How quick we can forget God's blessing, God's manifestation in our life. And yea, we can see that the Lord, in His great infinite goodness, did bless and prosper those who put their trust in Him. Yea, and we may see at the very time He doth prosper His people, yea, in the increase of their fields and their flocks and their herds and the gold and in their silver and in all manner of precious things of every kind and art, sparing their lives and delivering them out of the hands of their enemies, softening the hearts of their enemies, that they should not declare war against them, yea, in fine, doing all things for the welfare and happiness of His people. When the Lord done this, okay, that's what He done for these people for the last few years after they repented and came to Him. Yea, then in that time, in the time that they do harden their hearts and forget, and do forget the Lord their God, and do trample under the feet the Holy One, yea, and they become and this because of the ease and exceeding great prospering. Again, we find it. And I'm going to mention it. It's in Mosiah, the first chapter, in the 119th verse. It was read this morning. But the natural man is an enemy to God. And it has been from the beginning and will be until the end. That means even our time. And this people was no different. But when they eased, the way became easy, like our way is today. The way that we live today is easy. And you can go most anywhere else in the world and find that out real quick. But in that same way, pride and different things can enter into our hearts, as it did to these people, because of the blessing of God. God blessed them and prospered them, and their fields and their flocks and their jobs, whatever. And their way became easy. They didn't have to strive so hard anymore. And they didn't have no wars because the Lord softened their hearts of their enemies. But in that same time is when they forget Him and trample Him under His feet. And I'm fearful that that's what's perhaps happened to this nation that we live in. Our ways become so easy that we have no need for that God anymore as a country. And I am grateful for this little Church of Christ that we see and can understand the day we live in. I think I'll move on here. Moroni, in the 10th chapter, in the 29th verse, right near the very end. Moroni is getting ready to bid his farewell to us, because he's going to bury this record up, and he knew that it was going to come down to us in this day. But he had some advice for us. He had a lot of advice for us, but I'm just going to read one verse here. It says, "Yea, come unto Christ and be perfect in Him, and deny yourself of all ungodliness." You know, he didn't say the Lord's going to take all ungodliness away from you. He said, deny yourself of all ungodliness. "And if ye shall deny yourself of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is His grace sufficient for you, that by His grace ye may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye be perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God." And so, you know, we're not going to be left out there on a limb alone. That if we deny ourselves of all ungodliness, the Lord and the grace of God is going to come upon us and strengthen us. Why don't we flip back a few pages in Moroni? And some of this was read this morning, but I just want to emphasize in the 7th chapter concerning charity. And again, we start in the 49th verse, and it says, "And again, behold, I say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope, save it be he be meek and lowly at heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain." You know, we need to have faith, we need to have hope, we all realize that, but we also need to be meek and lowly at heart, humble. And I just have a feeling that Nephi, the son of Helaman, who we've been reading about, was a humble man. Because in order for God to touch your heart and work in your life, I believe you have to be humble. And I feel that in our day and age, that perhaps might be one of the most difficult things for us to do. Because of our wealth, because of our easiness of the way, it's easy to become prideful. As well as because it's taught every day. It's taught on the television. It's taught in music. It's taught in advertisements that you're better than everybody else. You deserve this. And that's not what the Lord expects of us. 50th verse, it said, "And if a man be meek and lowly at heart, and confess by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. therefore he must needs have charity. And I'm not going to read the rest of it. I'm sure you're familiar with it. But if we're going to preach the gospel, we need to have charity. And we need to have every attribute of that charity in our heart. And we need to have it to the degree of Nephi. We need to have it to the degree of those men who have gone before us, who have literally laid their life down, years and years of service in the gospel and sacrifice. There's something to be said for sacrifice. And it's not a common thing in our society today, because the world tells us and teaches us, don't deny yourself anything. Don't deny yourself anything. If you don't have the money, put it on a credit card. But don't deny yourself anything. And that's not what the Lord expects of us. He expects of us to deny ourselves things. He expects of us to deny ourselves ungodliness. He expects of us to deny ourselves that lead us a little further away from Him. It may not be a big sin in itself, but it may lead us gently, gently a little further away from Him. So I ask you to think on these things about denying yourself, about making a sincere effort to love your fellow man. And it's a difficult thing. It's an easy thing to come here and love each other. It's an easy thing to love your family and your friends, and you grow emotionally attached to them. But to have a pure love of God in your heart for the souls of the children of men is what we need. And I think I'll leave you with that. Thank you.
Shall we stand?
In my love.
prayer. My dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we spent here this day. We thank you, Father, for the message that was born to our heart this evening. We ask, Lord, that you might strengthen our love for the souls of men, that we might even have that charity within our heart. I ask that you'd forgive us where we lack, that you'd strengthen us, help us to see ourselves, and that we might be able to look in our own lives and be strengthened. We might be able to put away things that are opposite of thy ways. We ask, Lord, as well, that you'd be with our loved ones that are sick and afflicted, that weren't those in the missionary field, that you'd bless them, that you'd bless the work that they do, prepare the way before them. We ask now that you'd continue with us throughout this week, strengthen us in our times of weakness, and we ask it in the name of Christ. Amen.